Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Hare Krishna. Reading from the Bhagavad Gita is this, from the 6th chapter entitled Jnana Yoga, text number 2. Yam sanyasam iti prahu. Yogam tam vidipandava. Nayan sanyasta sankalpo. Yogi bhavati kaschana. Yam sanyasam iti prahur. Yogam tam vidipandava. Naya sanyasta sankalpo. Yogi bhavati kaschana. Translation. What is called renunciation, you should know to be the same as yoga, or linking oneself with the Supreme, O son of Pandu. For one can never become a yogi unless he renounces his desire for sense gratification. Purport. Real sannyas yoga or bhakti means that one should know his constitutional position as the living entity and act accordingly. The living entity has no separate independent identity. He is the marginal energy of the Supreme. When he is entrapped by material energy, he is conditioned, and when he is Krishna conscious or aware of the spiritual energy, then he is in his real and natural state of life. Therefore, when one is in complete knowledge, one ceases all material sense gratification or renounces all kinds of sense gratificatory activities. This is practiced by the yogis who restrain the senses from material attachment. But a person in Krishna consciousness has no opportunity to engage his senses in anything which is not for the purpose of Krishna. Therefore, a Krishna conscious person is simultaneously a sannyasi and a yogi. The purpose of knowledge and restraining the senses as prescribed in the Jnana and Yoga processes is automatically served in Krishna consciousness. If one is unable to give up the activities of his selfish nature, then Jnana and Yoga are of no avail. The real aim is for a living entity to give up all selfish satisfaction and to be prepared to satisfy the Supreme. A Krishna-conscious person has no desire for any kind of self-enjoyment. He is always engaged for the enjoyment of the Supreme. One who has no information of the Supreme must therefore be engaged in self-satisfaction, because no one can stand on the platform of inactivity. All purposes are perfectly served by the practice of Krishna-consciousness. Om Jnanati Manasya Gyanandana Salakaya Chakshura Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobistam Stapitam Yena Bhutalehi Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinna Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So the real understanding about the Absolute Truth is explained in the verse Bhaktaram Yagyatapasam Sarvaloka Maheshwaram Suridam Sarvabhutanam Gyatvamam Santimrichati, which means that Lord Krishna is the supreme enjoyer. Right? And he is also the controller of all places, all planets, in every situation. Ultimately, Lord Krishna is the only one who's really in control. The other day, I was driving with a very good driver, and he was going down the hill, and it came to 195, and I was getting a little worried. It was getting a little fast. And even the best driver in the world cannot necessarily control what happens on the road. Anything can happen. tire can burst, something can be there on that road. Then when we slowed down, the same, I told him, slow down, slow down, slow down. And then the same driver told me, he said, once I was driving on the same road and I was bringing another Swami, and he said, and then we saw all this blood and flesh lying on the road. And I go, like, blood and flesh. He said, everywhere there was blood and flesh on the road. I said, God. He said, it went on for kilometers. And then they came behind a truck. And it was a truck with flesh, and the doors had opened, and it was all falling out onto the road. You never know what you will encounter in life. We are not in control. What a strange story, and what a strange what a strange driver. 195 through the hills, right? Up and down and around. Intense. But we don't know. Krishna is in control in any situation, a happy one or an unhappy one. It is Krishna. If there is extraordinary beauty, it is Krishna. Krishna who gives. I heard today that in China, they discovered a huge lake, a huge underground lake, and above the lake is a desert. So all these years, they had the great desert, and they never knew that there was a huge lake under the great desert. This is funny, actually, how Krishna is arranging these things, right? All along, we didn't know. People must have been dying of thirst. If they would have dug into the ground, they would have gotten the water. Such is the nature of the material energy. The Supreme Lord is in control. We don't know. And certainly we are not in control. But it is said every living being is also a controller. Even the ants can control. Although they are very small, they are also Ishvara, or controller. But there is one Param Ishvara, Parameshwar Krishna, the supreme controller. All other controllers can only control so much. So, keeping that in mind, Sarva Loka Maheshwaram, Krishna is the controller, the Maha Ishvara of all the different places, wherever it may be. And Suridam Sarvadinam, the friend of all living beings. So understanding that Krishna is the supreme enjoyer, that we are not the enjoyer, but that Krishna is meant to enjoy, is the proper understanding. But everyone is thinking, I want to enjoy. This world is for me, for my enjoyment. That's what it's for. Having great fun. Yes. I also want, you know, the latest car. You have cars that when you start the engine, then the lights come out of the hood, you know, right? As if someone opens his eyes, you know. Suddenly these lights come out of the hood. I mean, it's all just sense gratification, right? Totally not needed. Just some sort of mental enjoyment, right? Out of all that. So in this way, so much needless energy is being employed for our enjoyment. And the result is actually so much entanglement, and the entanglement causes us so much suffering. So life is not meant like for that purpose. Life is meant for only one purpose, for the pleasure of the Supreme Lord. Somehow or other, we must please Krishna. That is bhakti, and that is sannyas. That is what Prabhupada said. It's nice that Prabhupada kind of puts sannyas and bhakti on one line here. He makes it practically the same. He says that real sannyas yoga or bhakti means that one should know his constitutional position as the living entity and act accordingly. The living entity is the separated part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. He is of the same nature as the Supreme Lord, but yet he is described as Anu, infinitesimal, and the Lord is described as Vibhu, all-pervading. The living entity is eternally the servant of the Supreme Lord, and that is real sannyas yoga if one acts for that purpose. Then it doesn't matter where or how we do. That is all right. There are so many different kinds of devotees. Some devotees were renowned for living under a tree, a different tree every night. And other devotees were living in a palace. Pundarik Vijayanidhi had a beautiful palace, beautifully decorated, so nice. And Pundarik Vijayanidhi was known as a great devotee. So Mukunda, he came from the same place as Mukunda, as Pundarik. And therefore, when Mukunda heard that Pundarik Vijayanidhi had arrived in Navadvip, he went to meet him. And he told Gadadhar how wonderful a devotee Pundarik was. So Gadadhar wanted to see him. But then when they came, Pundarik Vijayanidhi was sitting on a beautiful seat, nice with cushions on all sides, and he had his hair was done very, very elegantly, and he was wearing beautiful silken cloth, and next to him there were water pots, right, with scented water inside, and everything was like a royal arrangement, and even more than that, so much arrangement for his enjoyment. And when Gadadhar saw that, he thought, is this a great devotee, or is this a sense enjoyer? He sure looks like a sense enjoyer. So Gadadhar had some doubts, and Mukunda could see. So then Mukunda began to sing a song about how Putana, who had tried to kill baby Krishna by smearing poison on her breast, had somehow or other been killed by Krishna, who sucked out not only the milk and the poison from her breast, but also her very life. And then Putana had achieved the position equal to Krishna's mother in the spiritual world for that, right? So as Mukunda was singing this bhajan about this pastime, Pundarik Vijayanidhi became overwhelmed with ecstatic symptoms. He kicked over the water pots, he just fell on the ground, messed up his hair, rolled through the water, etc., and all his beautiful cloth was soiled and spoiled, and he was just he showed to be totally transcendental to it all. And in this way, it was just his nature. It was his nature to be like that. Right? So it is not that we have to change our nature. Real sannyas does not mean to live under a tree. Real sannyas does not mean that one will only eat the burned rice like Jad Bharat was doing, right? Who was eating the burned rice that was caked to the bottom of the pot, or who was eating the grains that were rotten, etc., which were given to him by his elder brothers, and he never protested and accepted it, right? Because that was his mood. His mood was Jad Bharat. Jad Bharat means dull, like a stone. He was performing the process of Jada Yoga, stone yoga, right? He was following a process of stone yoga, just being like a stone and tolerating anything and everything. Right. In this day and age, people like to get stoned, but not stone yoga. Stone yoga is not so popular. That would be a bit too much to just tolerate anything and everything. So we are not following that yoga now. Although some people may have an affiliation towards stone yoga, right, and try to perform great austerity, and they think that by doing so, that this is a sign of great advancement. But true austerity, we don't need to look for that separately. There is no gain in looking for some austerity, in chanting Hare Krishna in front of the open window in the middle of the winter just to kind of show that we are detached and that we're not attached to central heating, right? Not required. Not needed. Rather, true renunciation means to do what is pleasing to Krishna. Krishna is not pleased when we torture ourselves. Krishna is pleased when we are merciful. Krishna is pleased if we work for his purposes, which is to give transcendental knowledge to all living beings. That's Krishna's interest. Krishna wants to distribute this transcendental knowledge to all living beings. He wants to benedict all somehow or other. Devotees are ready to give prasadam to all living beings. Sometimes they give even to the ants, right? So some crumbs, right? Devotees are in the spirit of somehow or other being merciful to all living beings. That's the idea. How? With our own creativity. We have been given creativity. We can do it according to our own ability and nature. Someone may be a painter, do it as a painter. Someone may be a singer. Someone may just be an ordinary person. But still, everyone has some friends in this world by nature. Right. So we can invite some people in our house. And in that way, give some prasadam. Whatever we do, we can be merciful. This must be done. This must be done. But before one can be merciful, one must first be pure. Otherwise, how can we be merciful? Right. We must, if we don't have it ourselves, how can we give it to others? Bharata bhumite hoilo manushya janma jara janma sotaka kara paru upakara. This verse has been quoted more by Srila Prabhupada than practically any other verse, right? We did some research and he was just this verse, Bharata Bhumite Hoilo, right? Manushya Janma Jara. Prabhupada quoted it so many times, inconceivable how many times he quoted this verse, that especially those people who are from India have the duty to distribute this transcendental knowledge all over the world and to... What's happening? Someone jumped off a bunk bed. Anyway, Bharata Bhumile Bhumite Hoilo. So, this is very nice that in that verse, it is pointed out that one must first absorb the transcendental knowledge. The residents of Bharat are coming in the disciplic succession of Bharat Maharaj, right? Who is the, who was the great saintly ruler of the land of India. The Mahabharat gives us the greater history of that great place where the Lord appeared many times and finally gives us the knowledge about the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna in the form of the Bhagavad Gita. So one must know the Bhagavad Gita. Otherwise, how can we be merciful? There's no question. So therefore, real sannyas or real bhakti means Bhagavad Gita. And if we take this knowledge of Bhagavad Gita and apply it in our lives and give it to others. Rajavijam Rajaguyam Pavitram Midamuttamam Pratyaksavagamam Dharmyam Susukam Kartamavyam. This knowledge brings the greatest happiness to one who follows it. So therefore, Bhakti Yoga or Sannyas Yoga is not a matter of denying ourselves so many things. When we think of sannyas, or satnyas means to give up, right? Nyas means to renounce, to give up. So it is not so easy to do that. Right? It is not easy to cut our ties to this world. Very difficult. And to leave our home, to leave our friends and families. Lord Chaitanya, when he took sannyas, he just walked away. He just walked away. Even although some devotees could not practically not tolerate, he did not look back. He took sannyas and walked away. And some of his associates fell on the ground. Lord Chaitanya never looked back, just walked away. How could he be so hard? Right? How could he do this without suffering any pain? Is then the process of sannyas such a painful process? No, it is not at all like that. It is based on another principle. On the principle of giving everything for our relationship with Krishna. Bhishma Dev explains like that. And he says that, why does a person who become a great devotee just take to the renounced order of life? Why does he renounce everything, even family life? How can he give up his family? It is said because gradually the heart becomes so full of Krishna that there is no room for any other relationship. Gradually, there's only room for Krishna. And therefore, gradually, all other relationships become less important. And therefore, gradually, one becomes detached. And then it is mentioned in the seventh canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 13, that we then still must perform our duty and act attached, although we are not, right? But perform our duty. So, gradually bhakti yoga makes us detached from this material world. Automatically, one develops a higher taste. That is the point. Bhakti parasana bhava viraktiran yata chaisa trike ekakala prapadamanasya yata satasyus tusti pusti ksut apayanugasam. From the 11th canto, where it said that devotional service is like the eating process. You start and you're very hungry. But as you're eating, you gradually fill up and less hungry until at the end, the only thing you could possibly handle is a little sweet. Right? All right, I'll take a little ice cream then. A little more of that ice cream I think I can handle. But if we'd say, you want some more rice? No, I'm full. You want some more sabji? No, I can't think of sabji. But ice cream, well, a little bit, it just slides down, you know. Like that, we can, at the end, as we're filling up, we can handle only certain preps. We're full. Bhakti parasana bhava viraktir. So, in the same way, in devotional service, as we become filled with transcendental taste, we lose the taste for other things. As we become filled up, right, as one has eaten a full meal, even if I bring the most delicious preparation, you want some pizza? Oh, take it away. Right? No, I don't want any pizza. Right? Whereas normally people do want pizza. Right? Who does not want pizza? Even in India, pizza is big. Everyone goes for pizza. In Croatia, Croatian pizza, I'm sure. Greek pizza. They have Greek pizza. See? Yes. Everywhere. Macedonian pizza? Macedonian pizza. Suriname, they have pizza? Yes, in Suriname they also have pizza. I don't know where our Japanese representative is, but I'm sure that in Tokyo they must have pizza. If not, we should open a pizza restaurant there. Ah, he has seen pizzeria in Tokyo also. Yes, so, but if you have just eaten a huge feast, nobody cares about pizza. Not even an Italian, you know. So, it is like that. Right. So, in devotional service, once we are satisfied with devotional service, how can you still do the old things? You cannot. You know, before you might have had a bike with 27 gears, you know, just every day sporting around. But after some time, you know, when you get into devotional service, think, what's the point of riding around on this bike? What for? It has no meaning. You might have had roller skates and you go to the Vondelpark and you do loops, you know. But you just feel like, what's the point of just spinning around in circles? What's the point of doing all these things? What's the point of a game of tennis? What's the point of playing billiards? What's the point of a fast car, a V8? What's the point of all these things? Mm-hmm. Yes, we can appreciate some things, but we are not so attached. A devotee, it's not that a devotee cannot see the difference between good quality and bad quality. He knows very well, this is a piece of junk and this is good. And he'd rather take the good one than the piece of junk. But at the same time, he also is thinking, no, it's not so important. Right? Not so important. Yeah. And he tries to keep it a little simple because he knows there is a danger. When one expands too much and say tries to be Krishna conscious in too much opulence and material arrangement, it can distract the mind. In this way, simplicity is there as a principle of renunciation, but the essence of renunciation is to simply become absorbed in serving Krishna all the time, doing everything for Krishna, to put Krishna first. Like to put the deity first. Like this room is the room of the deity. So this is the best room of the building. You can imagine what the rest looks like. That's proper. One should offer the best to Krishna. That is the process. Right? That is Krishna consciousness. To put Krishna first. Bhakti. Yes, that's what counts. Not our own preoccupations. We have so many things we want to do every day, right? And that's okay. But we must look after Krishna's comfort first. That's very important. And it is so simple. And all the other things, somehow or other, we have to put them aside. They're getting ready to go to bed. Anyhow, so somehow or other, let us be Krishna conscious and let us develop that Krishna consciousness. Because being Krishna conscious is something we have to practice. It doesn't happen automatically. It's not like... To be really conscious of Krishna means we must be very serious about pleasing Krishna. Yes. So it's not going to be easy. Yeah. Yeah. We have to chant, right? It's very necessary. For me also, sometimes it's a struggle, yeah, because sometimes I'm sick or tired. But so it's not that every day it's just easy. You know, some days we all go through ups and downs in terms of our health, in terms of peace of mind, in terms of things to do. It's not that anyone is exempt, but the rounds must be chanted at any cost. That is Krishna consciousness. There's no excuse. We cannot hear any excuse. Excuse means only laziness. Right? Excuse means maya. Excuse means we are in illusion. If we have some excuse for not doing devotional service, it means we are thinking there's something better than devotional service. Right? And whether that is sense gratification in the form of karma, in the form of trying to enjoy the material energy, or whether that is sense gratification in the form of jnana, in trying to spend our time in intellectual enterprises, or whether it is yoga and trying to develop mystic powers, right? It is all described as sense gratification. Bhukti mukti siddhikami sakkila shante. That all these personalities are not peaceful. They can never have peace. Only devotee, only the devotee, he can be become situated perfectly. So, such devotees are very, very rare. In the history of Vaishnavism, we find many, many devotees everywhere. But how many of such devotees are there who are totally putting Krishna first, and very, very few. And we get the opportunity to do it, right? All of us. This movement is for that purpose. And many of the Vaishnavas of the past who have not succeeded in becoming pure devotees may have taken birth again, right? To go on again. So how many lifetimes are we kind of in some way or other connected to the Vaishnavas without actually attaining perfection? And then again, one has to forget everything. Again, go through the whole ignorance of being child. Again, getting caught up in a little bit of sinful activity here and there. Again, right? Somehow or other suffering intensely. And then somehow or other transcendental knowledge comes, and again, Krishna consciousness uncovered. Again, remembering. Again, the same material tendencies to struggle with. And again and again. It's not worth it. Rather, we should take full advantage of the knowledge that we have now. So how to do? By taking more association of devotees. That is the first key. Because there we'll get a lot of strength. Alone, we have no strength. Therefore, we must take the association of the devotees. Now, that's difficult. Because, you know, the devotees are not always what we would like them to be. This is the big problem. If they were all pure devotees, totally 100% Paramahamsa, then it would be easy. But sometimes you just think, God, are these the people I'm supposed to associate with? Right? It can happen, right? That you're not always feeling that ecstasy. And we're seeing, you know, devotees are not always having priti laksanam, loving exchanges, as I noticed this morning, you know, like as the sounds were echoing through the building on all sides, right, it was clear that it's not always a matter of priti laksanam, the six loving exchanges between the Vaishnavas, right? How nice is sadhu sangha? No, sometimes it just sounds more like a brawl in the marketplace. I'm so sorry that it did sound like that. First downstairs, later upstairs. He really got it. That was a great success, Gaurang. He said, I'll call her in the office. Thanks, pal. Gee. Yeah. Anyway, Krishna consciousness is meant to somehow or other advance. So we should be making a conscious endeavor. It's not just that we have to be here and that's enough. We have to actually do more. It's not just enough to be born in a certain family, you know, and have some knowledge. It's not enough. One must really change and do something seriously. Something. Make a sacrifice. There was one man in Calcutta who gave, who became so impressed after Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave a lecture that shortly after that, he gave him all his money. And it was so much money, huge amount of money. So then Srila Bhaktisiddhanta said, okay, you make a temple of this. He said, all right. 2 years later, there was a beautiful temple, big, big temple. So it's no joke. 2 years is very short, especially in that time because there were no machines. Right? So it was super short. I mean, it really worked. And it was all his life savings. And he was totally happy. And he wrote in an offering then after that, he wrote and he said, I gave you back, right, your property. Right? So he was very happy that I can do that. He said, it never belonged to me. And he said, but actually, by giving away what I had, right, I became yours. That's what he said. It was very nice, no? By giving away what I had to you, I became yours. It was very nice. Nice offering. I read it the other day, and such a nice devotee. Right? For this, he went back to Godhead. He did not live in a temple. He did not live in a brahmachari ashram. He did not have a shaved head and a sikha or anything like that. But he gave everything. Right? He gave his life. That's the essence. Right? Others may have the dress and all that, but have we given our life? Right? Or are we kind of comfortable? Right? Can you imagine if we'd have to work outside, right, in an office or in a factory? Whew, then better stay in a temple. So sometimes it is comfortable to live temple life, right? Having a job can be tough. Yeah. So it's not only a matter of belonging. It is a matter of giving ourselves completely. It is between us and Krishna. The relationship is between us and Krishna. Not between us and the temple. It's not that we are joining a temple and just judge the temple and say, well, I like this temple, I don't like this temple, I like this about the temple, I like that about the temple, shall I stay, shall I go? That's not the issue. The issue is that we should understand the temple is there to help us serve Krishna. Right? We must work on our relationship with Krishna. We haven't done anything for Krishna for such a long time. Nothing. We've always done everything for ourselves. Nothing for Krishna. Now we must start to do everything for Krishna. We're not going to do it alone. Who's going to get up early in the morning? Who's going to chant early in the morning? All alone. Nobody. Unless one is a great Mahabhagavat. Only such a person can maintain. So, somehow or other, we need the temple. And we realize that that's for our support. But the essence is our relationship with Krishna. And therefore, we should look to that. And that is our standard, our relationship with Krishna. Our standard is not what is everybody else doing. What are other people doing? I cannot be expected to do more than anybody else. I have the same desires they have, so why are you looking at me? Look at them. Why are you telling me I should surrender? Tell them, you know. Tell everybody. Why are you singling me out? No. We're not interested to conform to other people. We are looking at Krishna, at our relationship with Krishna. And what have we achieved there? What have we achieved in our service to Krishna? How much have we given to Krishna? So we should give everything, more than we have so far. That is sannyas yoga or bhakti yoga. Right? To get into this mood, right, of giving more and giving better to Krishna. And how to do? That's an art that we must perfect, that we must practice. But that is the purpose. So, we're looking at the great devotees, like we were looking at this devotee, Jagat Bandhu was his name, who built the temple for Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. His name was Jagat Bandhu. It is very nice. I was reading the biography of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and it was just described how all the devotees at that time were very enthused by their spiritual master, and he sent different devotees to different cities to open up temples, and they were preaching, and then they were describing in their newsletter how they had a Govardhan puja and how there was like a big hill, and they gave a full description of the hill, and it was just like reading ISKCON World Review, right? Just the same. And you could see that they already went through it all, also, right? At that time, they went through all that. That same kind of mood as we saw happening later in ISKCON. The spirit of And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was pushing his disciples to open up another temple, to have another program, to publish another newsletter. And he was just pushing them. And they were in all directions just preaching. And then later, we see how Prabhupada was just really exactly in the same mood as his spiritual master. Exactly the same. It was very nice to see the spirit, the same mood, always pushing everyone to preach Krishna consciousness. Now Prabhupada is not personally here to push, and the times have changed. And maybe the times have also changed, because now we have to also show that at home we are having some Krishna consciousness. In the past, all that devotees had to do was point at Prabhupada and say, he is the pure devotee. But now people are looking at us to be the pure devotee. So we have to be the pure devotee. So that purity has to manifest in various ways. But we have to be conscious of to act according to our position. Devotees in different positions have different duties. So according to the position that we take, position of ashram, position of service, we have different duties. And we have to fulfill our duties. This is devotee. Devotee does duty. The word duty is not a modern thing. Modern people are not following any duty. They do what they feel like doing. But a devotee, he does what Krishna requires, according to his position. He has a duty, and he will do that duty. That is renunciation, all for the pleasure of Krishna. So, in order to really be successful at that, we have to every time again take a little inventory in our life and see what we have achieved so far, and then try to improve, because every time get into some sort of routine, and then we lose our seriousness in Krishna consciousness. Then we are not really trying anymore, like with fresh enthusiasm. Then it's just becoming like, life just goes on automatically, and we're just going along in spiritual life, and we become a little dry. So we have to refresh our relationship, push the refresh button, and just refresh. And if we regularly push that refresh connection, right? Refresh. And if we refresh the connection with Krishna by once again trying to really make the arrangement for his pleasure, whatever, to go out of our way as if Prabhupada was coming, right? What would the temple look like if Prabhupada was coming tomorrow? Nothing like a little color. Yes, for the book.
Mm-hmm.
I think the root is lust. Because anger or frustration is the younger brother of lust. Right? So quarrel comes from frustration. Right? So ultimately, the pure devotee also sees the mode of ignorance and does not like it. The pure devotee also sees the low standards and he does not like it and he wants to do something about it, but it doesn't upset his heart, you know. He doesn't like become like totally agitated to the point of like wanting to do something to someone. But when there's lust, right, then one is becoming frustrated. So we see that like Prabhupada would become upset about dirt or neglect or carelessness and how he drilled his disciples again and again to care for things. Right? And, you know, whenever someone said like, yeah, but like, you know, Prabhupada, like, I mean, everyone is so busy, no one has the time to do anything about it. They couldn't do it, then Prabhupada would say, then you do it. Right? It's so strong. Right? So strong. He said if you find a place in the mode of ignorance and you don't do anything about it, then you're also in the mode of ignorance. Right? Yeah. So, you know, we might have a paint party sometime this week, you know. No, but the bottom line is that how to avoid quarrel and where does it come from? Yeah, I guess we also make mistakes in our dealings with people. We are sometimes over-enthusiastic. Someone cannot handle it. So friction in the world is also a natural thing. In fact, in the material world, there's bound to be disturbance. Right? There's bound. So even amongst exalted Vaishnavas, we saw differences appear. Right? Prabhupada also apologized to his godbrothers at the end, you know, like that he might have upset some, said strong things at times. So even amongst such great devotees, there were some differences sometimes. They were not rude, no. No, they were not rude. Yeah, so according to one's position in the modes, one will be, the disagreements will also be different. But they might have been hurt, right? They might have been hurt by each other. When devotees are very much on the modes of material nature, then, you know, it gets to a point of like, even physical fights, right? We have seen. So this is not a good thing. It is the fault of the aggressor for aggressing, and it is the fault of the person of the other party for not tolerating. Right? Both are at fault very much. Vaishnava should not be an aggressor, and a Vaishnava should not be intolerant. That's due to lust, and that lust has bound us up in the modes of material nature. How to overcome? Bhishmadev said, overcome anger by learning to forgive. Yeah. And serve. Serve Vaishnavas. If one has some disturbed sentiment towards a Vaishnava, it is recommended to serve that Vaishnava. But that's very high. Most of us cannot do that. And ultimately, it's not necessary to be too intimately connected with every Vaishnava, because there are different Vaishnavas, different natures, different levels of advancement, and they're not all meant to mix intimately. So sometimes it's very difficult in one temple, right, where you have all kinds of Vaishnavas of different levels of maturity staying together and all doing their different things. And that may really disturb sometimes. So at times it is recommended to keep some distance. Yes. One can, when I spoke of Gyan as intellectual enterprise, I meant that the needs of Krishna may sometimes go beyond the intellectual need. It's not that we cannot utilize our intellect for Krishna and be fully engaged like that. That's fine. If that's our duty, then that's fine. But still, many times the requirement is something else. So it depends on what our duty is. Intellectual enterprise or philosophizing about various technical points have their value. But one may only reach a very small group of people. The mass of people, they need just an immediate connection with the Maha Mantra. So one must keep the priorities in mind. If we get too much involved in intellectual wrangling, I think we may miss out on a priority. And although we all have our own natures and our own inclinations, I still think that Srila Prabhupada and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta had an agenda in Lord Chaitanya. And the agenda was to spread the holy name to every town and village, because most people cannot actually be convinced just by intellectual argument, but rather by chanting of the holy name. Kind and compassionate and detached. My brain is a little slow. But I'm going to get into it. The detachment is never from the welfare of the living being. It's not that the detached pure devotee is detached from the living beings. No, he cares very much. But he's detached from all the agitation and all the involvements that they have. See, the whole world is just agitated about this, about the war, or about the this, or about the that, right? So many things, my God. And the pure devotee is totally not involved with all that. It doesn't touch him. He's not like concerned, right, with these matters. He's totally transcendental. So he sees the small concerns of the conditioned souls and is himself not at all concerned. He's concerned with Krishna Yes. But he's never detached from the well-being of all living entities. So therefore he can be kind and detached at the same one, same side, same time. Depends what your position really is, you know. If you're a Kshatriya, then maybe that's your business. But then you better be sure that you know how to deal with these things and that you don't get injured in the process. Right? We should know that our first priority is not to jump in between fights, is not to do these kind of things. Sometimes we may do something, like in Australia, they were working on the Rath Yatra cart in the days of Prabhupada, and then there was a fire, and they used Lord Jagannath's the cloth of the Rath cart, and they held it up, and the people were asked to jump from the building, and they jumped in that cloth, and they were saved, right? And it was a big thing, you know, Hare Krishna save people from a burning house, and the Hare Krishnas were good people, you know, for the first time, after they had been demons for a long time, they finally were good people, and everyone loved the Hare Krishnas, and it was the best advertisement they could ever get for the Rath Yatra card, and it was, you know, and they used the cloth of the sacred card, and this, that, and the people thought such a big thing, and they asked, and what are you going to do now? Can you still use the cloth? Has it been desecrated, you know, by what Jesus? No, we'll still use it. It's like this. It's okay. But people were like suddenly very interested in everything, you know, Hare Krishna. So it's not that we are not under some circumstances doing some welfare work. And Prabhupada also approved of it, you know. No, we won't let somebody drown, right? You know, it's a more easy thing than getting involved with the fight. But you care. We won't let people drown. If someone had an accident and is lying bleeding on the road, we're not going by Hare Krishna, 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 chant and be happy. No, we'll also make sure he gets medical attention or whatever, you know, we'll do something. No, that's not good. We feel something. We feel for the suffering of all living beings. We do. But at the same time, we see it in a different perspective. We're also seeing that, you know, this person is suffering his karma. It's horrible, but at the same time, you know, it's not finished. He's not really dying, cannot die. So we see it in a different perspective. Nobody dies. So if the whole family is, you know, heartbroken, he's dead, you know, he's dead, then we are just unaffected. We're not crying. No, we're transcendental. We have transcendental vision. Like that, we are detached. But we have feelings. We feel for the suffering of other living beings. Although we may see the things that they are involved with in a different context. That's all. And it's so interesting if you read, you know, the reports that they were sending back at the time and when others were writing about, because, you know, it was very excited, and one of them, they were already bringing Lord Zetland, you know, such a big aristocratic figure, and through Lord Zetland, they even met the Queen. They even met the Queen. And it was a big thing, you know. It's like in the Patrika, in the Gaudiya Patrika, the magazine, you know. It's like big letters, picture, you know, giving Bhagavad Gita to the Queen, etc. Just ISKCON World Review. The whole thing all over. That's so funny. It was, and like, yeah, Prabhupada didn't consider it very substantial. They all thought they did big preaching. They met the Queen, you know. They thought it was huge. But come on, we met the Queen, you know, the Queen. Lord Zetland, a real Lord. You know. They thought we're doing some big time preaching here. But of course, like, yeah, later on they did admit that Prabhupada made the devotees and that was more substantial. And, you know, it's like that. So Prabhupada did more than anybody else, which is a reminder to us that we also have to do more. A reminder to us that we cannot be satisfied with the temple we have in Amsterdam and think, oh nice, we have a temple in Amsterdam. It's okay, we're here. No. We should have so much more. We should have lots of temples in Amsterdam. Right? Yeah. Lots. I think I will stop. I'm a little tired. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.